Please turn with me to Romans chapter 12 here tonight. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to preach to you tonight on renewing the mind, or renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, reading just two verses here tonight. Verse 1 and verse 2. Renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And Paul writing here to the church at Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and your life here tonight. My message, renewing your mind. This is our fifth message as we look at our mind, or the battle for our minds. What a real warfare that we are in here tonight. It says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He is begging them. In the light of God being a merciful God, he doesn't give you what you deserve. He doesn't pour his wrath out on you. He doesn't judge you here tonight. He doesn't cast you into hell, and that's what you deserve. Don't be at all in any doubt about that. Yes. You deserve an eternity separated from God. Yes. You deserve that your sins be punished. You deserve to be separated in the darkness of hell, burning for all eternity. Every one of us deserves that. Paul here writing, he says, I beg you, or I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's actually saying here, I'm begging you to offer up your bodies to Jesus Christ. The Greek text here actually means to do it once for all. In other words, it's a crisis. It's a decision. It's a time that you come to, not every day, not several times during your life, but there comes a time where you say, God, you're having my body. I am dedicating my body to you. My eyes, my brain, my hands, my legs. I'm actually dedicating. They're no longer mine. I am doing an act of consecration where my body actually belongs unto you. It actually here says that we are to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, perpetually living, not a dying sacrifice, not a short-term sacrifice. Yeah. But I say, God, you're going to have my body. And in the context of this series, God, you're going to have my brain, my intelligence, my thinking, my judgment, my imagination, all of these faculties. I dedicate my brain to you. I don't want it for the flesh. I don't want it for the world. I don't want the devil to take it and use it for his kingdom. Yeah. I want you to have my body and all of its faculties. Look with me in verse 1. It actually says that when we do this, this sacrifice of our physical body, it is important what you do with your body, that it is a sacrifice holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now this word reasonable, I do love it. The word reasonable is the Greek word logikos, logikos. And it's where we get our word logical from. So he's actually saying, when you offer up your entire body on a altar of sacrifice as an act of worship unto God, when you say, God, I want you to have my body, all the members of my body, all of my faculties, you know what? It's a very logical thing. It's a very reasonable thing. And we know that being reasonable or being logical, there's not many people today are very reasonable. You begin to talk to them, you go, they're very unreasonable. But you know what he says? It's reasonable. In other words, use your mind. Do you not think giving your body over to God, consecrating it to God, giving it to him for his use, don't you think that is logical? Use your mind here tonight. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your physical body? Why not make sure your physical body is in his hands? But you know why? You're not going to have it very long. Oh yes, you'll get it back at the resurrection, but you've only got it for a short time, and you'll be held accountable for that natural physical body. Here tonight, that's only me introducing my message, but here tonight, renewing your mind. It says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and listen this carefully, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of two things are happening to you in this room. And in fact, all people in the church and all people in the world. One of two things, and they're contained in this verse. Either here tonight, you're being conformed to the world, or you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Either you're being conformed or you're being transformed. Either you're a conformer or you're a transformer. Take your choice, you're one or the other. Either you're a compromiser with the world, or you're becoming more Christ-like through God working in your mind. Either you're a thermometer or you're a thermostat. Hear me tonight in this message on renewing the mind. What is a thermometer? A thermometer actually takes account of the temperature in the room. And you know what it does? It accommodates itself. When you look at a thermometer, it tells the temperature of the atmosphere. In other words, it doesn't do anything to the atmosphere. It is a result of the atmosphere. It feeds out information that's given to it by the atmosphere. In other words, it is being conformed to the world. That's what a thermometer is. But what is a thermostat? A thermostat gauges everything around it. And if it doesn't like the temperature it's sat at, then it changes the atmosphere or the heat in the room. Do you hear me? You're either a thermometer being affected by the atmosphere around you, accommodating, molding to the atmosphere, merely saying, hey, it's cold out there. Hey, it's compromised out there. Hey, it's worldly out there. Or you are a thermostat that says, you know what? I've taken the temperature out there, and wherever I go, I'm going to heat up the atmosphere. I'm going to bring Christ. I tell you, I'm not being conformed to the world, but I'm being transformed, and I will be an influence in this world. I hope you're getting my message already here tonight. Renewing your mind. And I've got 3 points for you, all in verse 2 here. Listen carefully what my 3 points are. First of all, conformity to the world. Secondly, a transformed life. And thirdly, a renewed mind. These are 3 clear biblical statements given to us by the Holy Spirit. Clear instructions. Do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed. And thirdly, be renewed in your mind. Let's begin here on this as we look at this battle for the mind. Every one of you, there's a battle for your mind. There's a terrible warfare going on. And either you're going to get pulled towards conformity to this world, or else you're going to be renewed through the Word of God. One of these two things. But here, first of all, tonight, conformity to the world. It says in verse 2, first of all, and be not conformed to this world. That's a command. Be not conform to this world. If you've offered up your body, consecrated your body, if you're born again, listen to the Word of God. Don't think that this doesn't affect you. Oh, but I'm saved. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not conform yourself. Don't let yourself be conformed. Do not make decisions that conform you to this world. Don't be passive in your thinking in a way that literally molds you. You may say, but I'm not trying to be conformed to the world. But you may be allowing yourself to be conformed to this world. Do not allowed to happen to you. If the world can conform you, it will conform you. There is a strong power in the world, and if you're not very active, I mean, you're actively saying, I will not be conformed in my thinking. Since these two actions of being conformed to the world or being transformed by the renewing of your mind are things of the mind.
Yes.
How do you become conformed to the world? Through your mind. The influence of the world upon your mind. How do you become renewed in your mind? Through the influence of the Word of God upon your mind. We're dealing with something very real here. You're not to allow this to happen to you. In fact, resistance is necessary every moment of every day of the rest of your life. Since it's a warfare until the day you see Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You must be resolved. I will not be conformed to this world.
Yeah.
I will not be a part of this world.
Amen.
You see, what is worldliness? Worldliness is not the length of your skirt.
Yes.
Worldliness is not the length of your hair.
Yes.
Worldliness is not some manner of what you say or what you do not say. Worldliness is not whether you drink a beer or not. Do you know what worldliness is? Worldliness is a condition of your mind. That's what worldliness is. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of your thought life. That is worldliness. You see, I've seen some people in the church. I'm thinking of one person in particular because she's such a good example. Her hair was right down her back. Her skirt would almost touch her toes. And as soon as you walked into her church, and it was her church, I assure you, she wasn't the preacher, but it was her church. She would, if you were a woman and you weren't dressed right, she would look you from the sole of your feet to the top of your head 10 times up and down. You instantly got the message when her eyes fell upon you. Yet her tongue was longer than my arm. Do you get the message here tonight? Oh yes, her dress was right and she judged everyone. But you know what? She was as worldly a woman as ever I've met. She dressed right. Her doctrine was right. Her speech was often very right. She said amen in all the messages. And yet there was a condition of worldliness that had gripped her mind that actually was very destructive. Since it says here, be not conformed to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the New Testament, there's three words for the word world. Let me tell you what they are. The first one is the Greek word cosmos. And it means decoration. You could talk about the universe being the cosmos, but you don't restrict this word to that. It can actually mean the whole atmosphere around us, the whole decoration of our entire world. That can be the cosmos as well. That's the first Greek word. And it's quite close to the one that we're going to deal with. Second of all is the Greek word okonomi. And it means the inhabited earth, the globe, the landmass, or it can mean the entire Roman Empire. And we're going to set that aside. That's of no consequence to our message here tonight. That's just talking about the land. But the third word, and this is the word here, we're not to be conformed to the world. What does this word world mean? Listen what it is in the Greek. It's the Greek word aeon. Aeon. You've maybe heard that word aeon, and it means world. Do not be conformed to this world or this aeon. What does aeon mean in Greek? It means this age, this period of time, this age that we live in, or we could say our generation, our lifetime, our lifespan, or more specifically, our culture, our society. What is happening now in our culture? You see, the word world that Paul uses here, it is speaking of that time period which usually gets called contemporary. And I hope you realize I hate contemporary preaching and I hate contemporary music and I hate contemporary trends in the church. I'm utterly against it. You see, Paul is preaching here, being not conformed to the contemporary. Let me give you a Keith Malcolmson version or translation of this verse. Here it goes. Be not conformed to the contemporary culture. Do you hear what the command is? It's not saying, don't go and drink. Don't go and blaspheme. It says, do not be conformed to this culture, this latest thing that's happening in our world. It's thoughts, it's opinions, it's attitudes, it's ways, it's speculations, it's impulses, it's desires. Don't be conformed to any of the way of thinking, or you will be worldly. You see, if you're thinking, your mind, your thoughts, move with this present culture, this present way of thinking about anything, you are actually worldly. You're conformed to this world. In other words, it's not the Bible that has renewed your mind. Your thinking, your attitude, your ways of speculation, your ways of making a decision aren't from the Bible. But it's an atmosphere of this culture, and it could be very, very wise, but it's very dangerous. Paul in the New Testament constantly had a fight against the wisdom of this world, and he warned us against it. See, lots of people think the wisdom of this world is very nice. It's not immoral. It's very wise. No, it's very dangerous. Yeah. And it's an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, the contemporary cutting edge wisdom of this hour, the wisdom of the Greeks, is an enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. God's wisdom often looks foolish or old-fashioned in comparison to the wisdom of this world. The latest advice in training your children, or having a good marriage, or how to work, or how to live your life, or how to make money. None of that is overtly sinful. And yet, it can be utterly unbiblical. It's got nothing to do with the Bible. It all seems moral. It all seems good advice. And yet, it could be the exact opposite of what the Bible says. However, we need to remember that in this wisdom of this world, who is the God of this world? It is the devil. The devil is the God of this world, Satan himself. In the letter of Paul's to the Ephesians, listen to what he said. In time past, we all walked according to the course. That's aeon. That's aeon, this world. We all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, he said, we all walked in accord with the aeon of the cosmos. In other words, we all walked according to the culture we were raised in, born into, educated in, trained in. We're a product of our culture. We're a product of society. We're a product of contemporary things and ideologies. We're an utter product. And you know what as well? We also walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Never separate Satan from the contemporary culture. You cannot do that. He is the prince of the power of the air. The world is the devil's domain. He is sovereign in this world. Do you remember when he came to tempt Jesus Christ? He offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world. The actual kingdoms, he said, here, I can give them. If you bow down and worship me. He's given a shortcut. You see, Jesus will have the kingdoms of this world one day. But he says, you can have the kingdoms without suffering, without crucifixion, without rejection, and without a delay. You can have it now. Oh, this is what the Father's promised you. This is God's will for your life. Surely, has not God said, you will reign in the kingdoms of this world? I can give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. Saints, be very careful of taking shortcuts. Be not conformed to this world. I've just told you what the world is, the aeon is, this culture, this society. But he says, don't be conformed to it. I won't try to pronounce the Greek word for conformed. You can look it up. But listen to what being conformed means. To be pressed into its form. To be pushed into the fashion of this world, or the appearance of it. In other words, a pressure comes from the world, or this culture, from outside of you, and it pushes you into the mold of this world. You know, this generation has a mold, and it wants through your mind, through thinking, ideologies, bits of advice, wants to push you into the mold of this contemporary culture. Yeah. Oh, it's not sinful. Oh, it's not bad. But you become a product. You're being molded by the advice and counsel of this world. Yeah. Fashioned like unto this world. Yeah. To fall in line with the advice of this world. To get into step with the world. To conform to it. To unify with it. This word conformed in the Greek is used one other time in the New Testament in 1 Peter 1 and 14. And it says, as obedient children, not fashioning. And that's the word conformed again that he's talking about being pushed into the mold. As obedient children. That's how you stop it. Be obedient to the word. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, not being pushed in according to the former lusts of your ignorance. You see, when you're in your sin, you're ignorant. You're uneducated. You didn't know the truth of God in your mind. And he said, you know what? You were actually pushed into the mold of the flesh. The lust of the flesh molded how you lived and how you thought and how your mind actually thought about things. The lust of your flesh had a pressure upon you. Listen to what he goes on and says. But as he hath called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You used to be molded by the lusts of the flesh, pressing you into a certain mold. You know, look at the world out there. They're all the same. You know, the generation coming out of university all across Ireland, and they say, we're nonconformists. What a load of rubbish. They're utter conformists. We rebel against the system. We think for ourselves. Really, do you? I don't think you think for yourself. You're being molded by the lust of the flesh. This world is conforming you. Saints, that's what is happening across Ireland at this time. Yes. Look at the root word for this word conformed. Listen to what the root word of it is. It's the word schema. That's the first part of this word conformed. Schema. Now what does that sound like? It sounds like scheme. Scheme. It literally means to scheme together with. In other words, to be conformed to the world. There is a scheme or a plan in there. That's what the word conform means. You've been molded. You're being pressed in a direction. There's a whole ideology that's trying to press you into a certain mold. And you know what's within that is a scheme, a systematic plan or an arrangement for attaining some particular object. Are putting a particular idea into effect. Listen to me. Seeing this world system culture in the universities, in the schools, in politics, in the churches of our generation, in this 21st century, there is a culture, a contemporary culture, and it's through it all. And you know what? There's a plan within it. There is a scheme within it to mold all of us into a way of thinking, a way of speaking, a way of acting, a way of walking, a way of decision making. And we think we're all free thinkers. No, you're not. No, you're not. Unless you're being renewed by the word of God, you're not a free thinker. You're a fool of the devil. You're actually a minion of this world system. I mean, we know those who used to be hyper against the world government, and they used to talk. And here, I believe all this. I know it's all there. But they'd be there. They'd come into your home and say, "Now, is that Maine's tap water that you have? Because I won't drink it." And yet, they were liars. And there were schemers, and they were fleshly. And yet here they are saying, I'm going to be free of the new world order. And I'm not going to be affected by the Illuminati. No, you're an absolute victim of it. You're carnal, you're fleshly, you're disobedient. You can know all about the Illuminati. You can know all about these things. And yet you're a victim of it through the lust of the flesh. This is the scheme I'm talking about. This is this conformity to the world. How does it come to us? Through the media, through news, through internet, through talk shows, politics, schooling, education, your work atmosphere. There is a pressure coming through all these things, and it's aimed at your mind. It's trying to get thoughts in your mind. It's trying to steal your mind, your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, your intelligence. Do you see the warfare that we're in yes. in this generation? Yes. Just this week, we were in a public building, in that public building, there was a television on. And I started to watch it, and I said to Candace, the two ladies doing the morning talk show Irish program, I was very impressed with long dresses, very moral, very modest, and they're playing with their children and giving good advice. I was deeply impressed. I said, Candace, I've never seen this on television. I am thoroughly impressed that in these public buildings they're putting out such good stuff. And then up comes the first book, a lovely little children's book. And up comes the second children's book. And it's about a transvestite boy who's changing over. And my heart sank. And do you know what? Think of all the mothers in this society. You know what's happening? They're being conformed. Do you know in one of our elections on voting about marriage, there was a little old Catholic traditional granny of one of our neighbors, and very Catholic, very traditional, stuck in the past as much as you can imagine. But when she got the chance to vote, she voted for the rights of the homosexual to marry in Ireland. All her Catholicism went out the window. You know why? She's sitting watching that Google box in the corner. She's sitting watching television, and all those programs, all those soaps, all the news media has actually brainwashed her. Since it's all through our world, I'm telling you a very real thing. This word conform, be not conformed to the world. It can refer to anything pertaining to your habits, manners, dress, or style of living. Never take your habits or your decisions from this world. Never look at this world for that. How you speak, how you act, how you do, your ideas, your thinking, your ideologies, be very careful. Do you know what it says in 2 Timothy 4 and 10? Paul writing again, for Demas have forsaken me. Why did he forsake Paul? He's a young preacher. And Paul sent him out to pioneer and to preach and to minister. And he was there trained by Paul the apostle. Why did he forsake Paul? Listen. Having loved this present world. Do you know what present world means? It means now, aeon. In other words, the now. I mean literally. Do you know what? A year ago he wasn't affected by that. 5 years ago that young man Demas wasn't affected by it. But you see this year, in this particular year, here comes this latest contemporary influence through the world. It was right now. It was the latest thing, and that got him. That got him. Paul never seen it coming. Demas never seen it coming. And yet, this aeon way of thinking, this contemporary culture, it grabbed his mind. He was conformed to this world, and he began to love this world. It didn't say he loved sin. It didn't say he went back to the pubs or to alcohol or to immoral relationships. But he began to love. To actually love this world. Saints, that's my first thing. And I've got an awful lot more to say that, but I'm cutting across the field. I'm cutting to the chase. Do not be not conformed to this world. Be not. I can't say that strongly enough. Second of all, a transformed life. A transformed life. It goes on to say here, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at this beautiful word here. Transform. Either you're being conformed to the world or you're being transformed. Take your choice here tonight. It's one or the other. There is no middle ground. There's no man's land. No one dare go there or you'll get shot by both sides. I can assure you. Those who are righteous will shoot you. Those who are wicked will shoot you. You'll have no friends on either side when you try to. You know, I had an old preaching friend many years ago. He told me this. I never forgot it. He said, those who try to walk in the middle of the road get knocked down. Those who try to sit in fences, fall off. In other words, a compromiser loses out on both sides of it. Yeah. You're either being conformed to the world in your thinking, or you're being transformed through your thinking. One or the other. What does transformed actually mean? We've heard what being conformed to the world means. What is being transformed? If this is the opposite, if this is the other option, what does transform mean? Listen to the Greek word here. It's the Greek word metamorpho. Metamorpho. It's where we get our English word metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis is. The English word metamorphosis means a radical change in outward appearance or an inward character. It actually means more than that. It means to develop and change into something completely different than you were at the beginning of the process. We all know here about the little caterpillar that experiences metamorphosis. It goes through this procedure. Do you know where it goes as a caterpillar, as an ugly, earthbound, horrible looking caterpillar, though some little boys don't think they're horrible. It enters into its pupa or its chrysalis. Some of these caterpillars in certain countries like China, they cocoon themselves in a shell of beautiful silk. They wrap themselves in it. And most caterpillars stay there weeks, months. Some even stay in there for 2 years. And do you know what happens inside that little shell, that little covering? Inside that metamorphosis process, it radically changes. You know, when it went in, it didn't have any wings, but it will when it comes out. There's lots of parts in its body that weren't there, didn't appear, and yet it's in its DNA. It's been born for this. It didn't have it at the beginning of the process, but through metamorphosis, it's going to take on a look that it never had. It's going to fly. It never could do that before. It's not going to be earthbound anymore. Unless some little blighter, some little boy pulls off its wings, per thing. But saints, I'm telling you, it says if you're either being conformed to this world, through the world, getting to your mind, little thoughts, little ways of thinking, what you take on board, saying, sure, it won't harm me.
Yeah.
No, it's creating a lifestyle. It's creating a whole ideology in your mind. It's very dangerous. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Be metamorphosed. Listen to what God's word's saying here. Be metamorphosed. Don't be conformed. Be radically changed. I mean, have your entire life so changed that we can't recognize you. You ought to walk in it and me say, who are you? Or if you've had a relative or a friend in your past life and they knew you, they knew your character and your speech and your action, and they meet you now, they ought to say, you are not the same person.
Hallelujah.
If they don't say that, you need a wake-up call. Saints, we need this. We are. It's a command. It's an instruction. It's a teaching. Be metamorphosed. Oh, I can't change myself. It's a command. It's a command. You can metamorphose. It's a work of God, and yet you're responsible for it. Listen, metamorphosis. The root word here, morpho, listen to what it means. It means the forming of habits.
Mm.
What do you do with your mind? Your thoughts are going to form habits in your life. What sort of habits do you have in your life? What is a habit? It's an ingrained thing that you keep going back to. It's what you naturally do. It's that unconscious mind that tells you how to drive home when you don't even know how to. It's a habit of life. It's what you've actually built into your life. Listen, morpho means the forming of habits, or to come forth as a new person with new habits. It's not instantaneous. And notice this with metamorphosis. It is a process. It is a growth into this. It's not a growth into grace. It's a growth in grace. That's what it is. It's not instantaneous. You don't get it in a Christ experience. Someone can't lay hands on you and impart it to you. I wish they could. But that isn't biblical. It's not true. It is a constant process of change throughout your entire life until the day you stand before Jesus and look upon his face and your entire being is changed, never to be the same. In the morning, I will awake in his likeness. Thank God, there's a day coming. Now notice here, this word metamorphosis or transformed, in the Greek, metamorphosis is used 4 times in the New Testament. This is 1 time, and it's a doctrinal thing about your spiritual life. You are to be metamorphosed. No excuse. You have got no excuse. Do you know what it depends on is your mind. If you're here saying, but I'm not being changed, I'm not being metamorphosed, I'm not going through a gradual process of grace, of being changed into a radically different way than I was. If that's not happening to you, then you're being conformed to your world, to the world. It depends on your mind. So once it's mentioned here doctrinally, twice it's mentioned about a practical situation. First in Matthew 17:2, about Christ's transfiguration on the mount. Listen to what it says, and the word conformed here is transfigure, metamorphosed. Christ was transfigured or metamorphosed before them, before Peter and the other 2 disciples. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as the light. Again, this is said in Mark 9:2. Here's 2 occasions where Christ is changed. He's metamorphosed. You know what? He's metamorphosed physically, visibly, outwardly. That won't happen until the resurrection for us. The coming of the Lord, the catching away of the saints, that will not happen until then. But you know what? For us, it is happening every day inwardly. We are not shining as the sun outwardly. You cannot see that. Our raiment is not white as a bright light. That is not happening outwardly, but it should be happening inwardly. It can happen inwardly. When you're being transformed, metamorphosed on the inside, in your spiritual life, in your character, in who you are. Do you know when that's happening? Your face ought to shine. You ought to walk into meetings. This is what happened to Moses. Remember, he was on the mount with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and he comes down, and before he walked into the camp, he had to put a veil over his face. You know why? The glory of God was shining. You know why? He'd been alone with the Lord. Amen. He'd been metamorphosed. There was an effect of being with the Lord. His garments were shining bright. Saints, there is an experience of being metamorphosed. Don't limit the word of God. Amen. Don't deny the word of God. Yes, don't say, well, I'm just a sinner. We all sin. We all fail. If there ought to be a radical change, this is the work of God. Hallelujah. There's a 4th time this word is used in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the word there is changed. And I won't read the scripture, but listen, it actually teaches in that verse that we can be changed. We are changed by the Spirit of God as we behold Jesus Christ. Right. This is Spirit-wrought change from the inside out. What's metamorphosis? Start on the inside and it works its way out to the outside. What does the devil do through the world? He starts on the outside and tries to reach your inward parts. You see, he does it actually in reverse, but he is working actively. Listen to what we're being conformed to here. We're being conformed to Jesus Christ. As you gaze on him, I mean, the Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is through the word of God, and you're gazing on the face of Jesus. Do you ever do this? Do you ever stop during the day and gaze on the face of Jesus? I mean, look upon him. I don't mean just think about him. I mean, gaze upon his face by faith through the Spirit of God, according to the word of God. Do you ever stop and look on him as your great high priest or as your prophet? Do you stop and look upon him as your shepherd? Do you stop and consider this? See, it's all through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit moves and you gaze upon him and you're changed from one degree of glory to another. Saying, surely it's time to move on. Surely it's time to gain a new revelation of Christ. To see more of him by faith and to be changed. When you look in Christ's face through the Word of God, you will be changed. This is the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? By this means, this is our destiny. In Romans chapter 8 verse 29, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son Jesus Christ. In other words, God at the very beginning made a plan. Before you were saved, he made a plan. Predestination isn't a problem or a strange doctrine. Do you know what it means? God's plan on how to make you like Jesus. Is there anything difficult about that? Anyone got a problem doctrinally with that? What is predestination? It's God's plan on how he's going to make you during your lifetime on the earth more like Jesus Christ. In other words, all the work of God is, I want you to speak like Jesus. I want you to think like Jesus. I want you to walk like Jesus. I want you to act like Jesus. It says in Philippians 3:10, being made conformable unto his death. A part of becoming like Jesus is you are going to be made conformable, pressed in, made unto the likeness of his death. Like he went to the cross, this is working in you all the time. Why? That the life of Christ might be manifest in your physical body. Why is he taking you the way of the cross? Why does he allow trials? Why does he allow things to happen to you? So that this outward man can perish, that the inward man of the heart is renewed. What is Christ's likeness? It is walking like him, thinking like him, having his attitudes, his character, following his example and his life manifest through us. It is the lifestyle of Christ made real through your physical body. This is the goal. Hear me before I move to my third point. This is the goal. Not renewing the mind.
Right.
I'm going to say an awful lot about renewing the mind. That isn't the goal. Hear me tonight. This is so important. If you think renewing your mind is the goal, the focus, that's your end result, to have a renewed mind. It's not. It is absolutely not. Listen carefully here. The goal is a transformed life, a metamorphosed life. That is the goal, not the renewing of the mind. Not the renewing of the mind. To be metamorphosed is the reward, the blessing, the privilege and the honor of a born-again Christian in this world. You're not to stay the same. You're not to be conformed to the world. You're to be transformed in your life. This is for you. Embrace it. Believe it. You see, a renewed mind is not the goal. It is, and listen to this, it is the means to the goal. It is the pathway to a transformed life. How do you get a transformed life? By the renewal of your mind. How do you come to this place where your face is shining like the sun and your spiritual garments are blinding white? How do you get there? Through the renewing of your mind. Do you see the battle for your mind? The Spirit of God wants your mind. And this world wants your mind. The Word of God can change your mind. And the ethos of this present culture can change your mind. Since it is a battle for a transformed life in a real way. But the pathway to transformation is the renewing of your mind. There will be no transformation without the renewing of your mind. If you want spiritual growth and progression, if you want to go on to perfection in Christ, and we're commanded to, remember what Paul said, going on to perfection. It's one of the doctrines of Hebrews chapter 6, going on, moving on to perfection. I don't believe in perfection. Then you're denying many scriptures. Paul says, haven't obtained yet, not having obtained. There is a perfection. Not talking about sinless perfection. Yeah. Not talking about that. But I'm talking about being mature, fully grown, an adult in the kingdom of God. Oh, that there was more grown-ups in the church of our day. Yes. If you want to go on to perfection, to conformity to Christ, if you want transformation, if you want a changed inner man of the heart, you must renew the mind. If you want to be different inwardly, different outwardly, you've got to renew the mind. Behavior begins in the mind. Listen to what I just said there. Your behavior, your actions, your outward life begins in the mind by the renewing of the mind. Let me close here on my third point and final point. A renewed mind. A renewed mind. It says there in that verse 2 again, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you see that? How are you transformed? By the renewing of the mind. This is how you get it. Don't go seeking a transformed life. Renew your mind. Don't think that you can be changed supernaturally in some meeting. And you're waiting there saying, I'm waiting for the right preacher. Yes. You know, Brother Keith is wonderful. But I'm waiting for that man of God to come from some other land with the thus saith the Lord. And my life is going to be transformed in one night, in one meeting, never to be the same. I'm going to be shining like the sun. It'll never happen. I'm sorry to dash your hopes. All the prayers the past months, it'll never happen. You know what? You need to renew your mind. There is a metamorphosis. There is a process of change here. At every step, every stage of that change, it's an act of the renewing of the mind. What does it say? The renewing of your mind. This is how we get there. I'm opening up to you how to change your behavior, how to change your speech. There's some of you who's been struggling with your speech. I keep saying that. Why do I keep saying that? I keep doing that. I keep going there. Why do I keep doing that? Do you know why? Because you need to go for those thoughts. Those thoughts need renewed. And if you renew those thoughts, your behavior will change. Your speech, your actions, your attitude, an awful lot. Your character, your inward life is going to be metamorphosed. You're going to shine as the sun. How do you do it? By the renewing of your mind. Look at that word renewing here for a moment. The word renewing in the Greek means renovation. Renovation. I like that. You know, Paul here is looking at a new house and he's chosen a place specifically for what it is. It'll need work. It's going to need renovation and he's specifically choosing it for that task because you get the right price, you come in on it. But I'm telling you, it's not going to remain like that. There's going to need work done to it. But you know what? There's a vision of what that can be. If I can get my hands on that, if I can make that house my possession, if I can purchase it, if I can own the deeds to that house, I can do this to it and I can change that. It won't remain the same. Saints, can you imagine stepping into a house and just leaving it, let it keep on decaying and you don't do anything with it? Do you know what? It says the renewing of your mind, the renovation of your mind. When you move into this new property, oh, what a problem that mind can be. You're saved, you're born again, it's a new owner, it's brand new. You move in only to find out the house needs renovation. There's problems with the roof, there's a few leaks in the roof. And I can assure you, all of us in this room have a few leaks in our roof. There's a few slates off. And hopefully not too many slates off your roof. But saints, we need to do some work. This word renewing means to reverse things that make it new. Let me say that again. What does renewing the mind mean? You begin to reverse the process, the decay, the dilapidation, all the things the old nature done to it, sin done to it. Do you know what? The world has programmed you when you get saved. And you radically change when you get born again. And you get a new mind from Christ. But do you know what? You're starting on a process. Say, I need to put new windows in. And I need to put a new door in. And I need to begin to paint these rooms here. You know what we're doing? We're reversing the process of decay. And you can do that with your mind. No matter what your mind is like tonight, do you realize you can renew your mind? You can renovate your mind. Do you know, I showed a documentary to Candace a week ago of a lady. As a young girl, she started to have fits and rushed into hospital. And they'd done an operation, removed half of her brain. And they said, she'll be a cabbage if she survives. She'll never walk. She'll never use that arm. She'll never use that leg. Do you know what? It comes up in the documentary, the most determined person you'll ever see in two legs. You can see there's been the effect. But do you know what? That whole right side is operating. And she went for the Olympic swimming as well. Says, I will be at the Olympics. I am going to swim. But she says, I haven't used this arm in 18 years, but I am going to get it back again. She went along to the pool to the instructor and says, I want to swim. I want to be able to use this arm. The instructor says, well, I've watched you. I do believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. She's in there. And in her first race, it didn't happen right until that first race competition in the Olympic pool. And as she's swimming, all of a sudden that arm starts to operate for the first time in 18 years. You know what? The doctors were looking at it. There was another man in that program, and he got a device in his tongue where he could see things for the first time. And all this technology coming in, and through his tongue, and getting information in through his tongue, his brain just created a new line and created images so that he could tell distance and tell objects through his tongue. Saints, I'm talking about the brain is to be renewed spiritually in your spiritual life. Renew the brain. Do you know what? The brain can be renovated. Oh, Brother Keith, my brain's ruined. It can be utterly renovated. Your brain can be changed. I don't care what sin has group patterns in your brain. What fears, what discouragements, what lies of hell are dominating your brain even tonight. I don't care what habits are in your life. I don't care how strong the habits are. I don't care how impossible it seems. I'm telling you tonight, through the renewing of your mind, you can be metamorphosed and have new behavior. You can form new habits, new characteristics, new lifestyle, a whole brand new life of Christ. You can become like Christ, be conformed to Christ, have Christ-like manifest. How? By renovating that brain. It is possible to have a new spirit and a new heart without having a new head. It is vital that after salvation, the Christians go on to obey the scripture in the renewing of their mind. Listen to me before we close here. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. Just stop the clock for 5 minutes. Ephesians 4 verse 20. And I want you to see this, saints. Such an important scripture here about the renewing of our minds. Saints, I'm showing you. I want you to be gripped with the reality. If you renew your mind, you're going to have a transformed Christ-like life. I am showing you the plan of God. I'm showing you the predestinated plan of God for your life. I'm showing you the will of God for your lives. I'm showing you the potential of what you can be in Christ. And it's through a renewed mind. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 20. And it's speaking here, but ye have not so learned Christ. He was showing all the things that weren't Christ-like in the life. And he says, but you haven't learned Christ like that. All those attitudes, that's not Christ. You didn't learn Christ like that. What is learning a faculty of? The mind. Learning Christ. Then verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him. Have you heard Christ? And have been taught by him. Have you been taught by Christ? Are you learning Christ? As the truth is in Jesus. Look at this. This is the Christian life. You're learning Christ. You're hearing Christ. You're being taught by Christ. You're receiving the truth as it is in Christ. How do we get this? I want this. I want this great glorious gift of being taught by him and changed by him and receiving the truth. How do I do it? The next three verses tell us. Look at verse 22 here. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Speaking to a Christian, put off your old man. But I thought it was gone when I got saved. This is a command to a real Christian. Now, if you want to learn Christ, if you want to be taught of Christ, if you want to be like Christ, put off, put aside. In other words, take what's trying to come on your life. You literally put it off. Saints, we weren't totally sanctified at the new birth. We weren't sinlessly perfect. I disagree with those who say we do not have an old nature to crucify. This proves we do. Put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And notice this next verse, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice what's in the middle of two verses here. In the middle, you have the renewing in the spirit of your mind. Before it, you have put off the old man. After it, you have put on the new man. Here, listen to me here tonight. It's so important. How do we put off the old man? The old lifestyle, the old attitudes, the old way of thinking. How do we put off those old habits that dominated our entire old life? And how do we put on the new man, which is the armor of light or the person of Christ? Put on Christ, it says in Romans a bit later. Put on the armor of light, it says later in the book of Romans. But here it says, you put off the old life and you put on the new life. And what does it have in between? Let me read again. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you realize the renewing of your mind is the key to putting off the old life and the putting on of the new life? You say, well, if I'm a new man in Christ Jesus, if I'm born again, if I'm saved by grace, why do I have to put on the new life? This is sanctification. This is a walk with God. You need to put on, like you put on a garment. You need to put on Christ. This wasn't once for all. This is a lifestyle of fighting the flesh. I will put off the flesh. I'll put on the spirit. I will put off the old man. I will put on the new man. What is the key to this? The renewing of your mind. Look what it says there, here in Ephesians 4, 22. Or 23, it says, be renewed, renovated, the same word, made brand new again. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does it mean, spirit of your mind? That shows it's not talking about the brain. It's talking about a mindset, an attitude, a bent, a characteristic. In other words, in the spirit of your mind, be renewed and you will put off the old man and you will put on the old man. Or go with me again. I just want you to see these scriptures before we close. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians, just one book over. Turn right and you'll have Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. And here again he says the exact same thing, as he said in Ephesians, Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now ye also put off all of these. What is the old man? Put off all of them. It is an act. It's a deliberate act. Put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Speaking of Christians, put it off. Don't let it in your life. When it rises up, put it off. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Surely a Christian doesn't lie. They ought not to. They ought not to. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. Look, it is saying the same thing as Ephesians. Put off the old, put on the new man. And you can see all the characters of the old man. And we know what the new man's going to be, the fruit of the Spirit. And notice what it says here in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge. Mm-hmm. Do you see how you do this again? You're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Since it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 4 that your body, the outward life, your hair is changing color, your body changes shape, your joints aren't as loose as they used to be, your teeth begin to change. You young ones, you've got something that's going to face you. If you don't put all of your money, stake everything on that inward man, you're going to be in trouble one day. If you put everything on the outward man, oh, I want to look beautiful. Oh, I want to be this. Oh, I want to be super fit. You're heading for trouble. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Though our outward man perish, it decays, it changes, it will let you down. It will fail you when you lean on it heavily in the years to come. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you know, you younger ones might look at the older ones and say, well, they don't remember things just quite as good as me. I see Malcolmson doesn't remember those scriptures as well as he used to. Yes, but I've got more wisdom than you. You may beat me. You may be able to run down that road faster than me. You may be able to run up those stairs faster than me. You may remember certain things better than me. But I want to assure you, this inward man is being renewed. The Bible shows us that as we go through life, and that this world takes its toll on our body, the body is not yet renewed. It isn't renewed. It's going in one direction. But I can promise you here, when as you progress in years, and as your body begins to limit you, you can be renewed in the inward man. What does it say? Day by day. Every single day, your inward man can be getting renewed. In other words, that mind can be getting renovated. It comes back to being to its original God-given use of thinking the thoughts of God. And you know what? As you allow the renewing of your mind daily, as you allow the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to you and show you a revelation of Him, you know what happens? Your life is transformed. You are metamorphosed. The character of Christ and the life of Christ is manifest before you. Saints, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is the purpose, that ye may prove, test, discern, examine, or find out what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God for your life. As you allow your mind to be renewed, suddenly you find God's will for your life. You suddenly find God's perfect will for your life through the renewing of your mind. And as you find the will of God, you live out a transformed life of Christ-likeness in this world until that day that we look upon Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the word of God tonight. It's hallelujah. We thank you, God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you. Just here right now, just tell him that you love him. Just speak to him. Just open up your heart for a minute. Just meditate on these things. Think on these things. Ask him to make it real in your life. Don't let the fowls of the air steal this. It's so real. It's for you tonight. It's for you tonight. Let the Spirit of God renew you. Change you from one degree of glory to another. Let him give you a vision of change, of inward renewal day by day. Saints, there's something can happen day by day in that inward man. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to be changed to the likeness of your Son. My God, you predestined. You've made a plan for us to be changed. It's your plan, O God, until the day that we're glorified. You predestined that we